Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
Oh, yeah. Here's what's happening. It's Tuesday, March 3, 2020. Brady Wright, Shane Osborne, Steve, the producer, Johan, joining millions of listeners. It's the 127th episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, and you have chosen wisely to join us for this week's show. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on iHeart Podcast, Spotify, of course, Podomatic.com. Thanks for liking and following our Facebook page, too, because otherwise we feel terrible. And all the latest shows are, of course, there, as well as the archives. I want to take a moment to say howdy to Witch Doctor Restoration, our newest sponsor. Let your project be a Witch Doctor project. Big job, small job, dream job. Call 206-437-1765. Shane will help your stuff. In fact, Shane has a job tomorrow. The Witch Doctor is operating tomorrow.
Oh.
Yeah. Our first segment is always Back to the Blacktop, so we're going to go back and see what Steve Johan has corralled for fascinating automotive news and information. As usual, what's up?
Well, for anyone who has been listening to the radio or watching TV the past 2 weeks, you have been hearing about the dreaded coronavirus.
Mm.
And all that has done to disrupt and even cause death. Well, one of the biggest events in the auto world, the 90th Geneva Motor Show, has been canceled.
Isn't that just whack?
Due to concerns about the coronavirus.
Well, they left out that there's no limes in Geneva, so that's why.
Well, I don't.
You got to let me do one.
Okay.
One
so Geneva was expecting to attract about 700,000 visitors.
Oh, yeah, it's a huge show.
Begins March 3rd with journalists and then the open public 5th through the 15th.
Yep.
So you can imagine the millions, the tens of millions of dollars that, quite frankly, have been lost on this.
Well, just imagine the hotels up there. I mean, these guys,
that's what I'm saying.
They were booked solid, and now they're, of course, you know, like, the hotels are probably going to do okay because they don't do full refunds. Airlines don't do full refunds. You know,
no,
if you cancel
you're right.
Under 24 hours, sometimes they just take your dough. I've gotten stuck that way a couple of times on flights.
Well, but
it's
still,
just not a good thing.
No, I mean, all the eateries, all those kind of places.
Oh, yeah, these guys are losing.
They're losing. And to be honest, I've talked to a number of people who do who are industry type people, not only car industry, but anybody else. There's been shows all over the world that have been shut down just because of this kind of thing. Well, this being the case, many automakers have decided to do live internet reveals showcasing their newest machines.
Sure.
And they even
can't get the virus over the air.
That's exactly right. And they even did some through the Geneva Motor Show. And one of those cars is, quite frankly, a very impressive Hyundai Prophecy concept car.
Okay.
Meant to provide insight into the direction of the Korean car maker.
Korean, I like it.
Korean.
Cute.
It basically features some very cool things. First up is the ability to operate autonomously. We talk about that a lot. Second, should the driver wish to take manual control, they can do so by using two joysticks. Rather than a steering wheel to steer the vehicle, there's a joystick in the center console and one on the door trim. And the steering is handled by pivoting either joystick left or right. Third is numerous buttons designed to create human-machine interface that enhances passenger safety. So
so basically, anybody who is in the armored division in the service knows how to drive a tank and drive this car.
Or if you've done RC racing or you've done any kind of gaming, you've got some experience going there. So I would love to see. Yeah, maybe they'll let us take and go for a ride in that. Can you imagine?
They'll let us do a virtual ride. We'll play a video game. That's as good as it's going to get.
Now that's an idea. They could market this thing through a video game.
Sure.
But the car, it's beautiful. If I can do it, I'll get an image, throw it up on our Facebook page.
Yeah, it'd be cool to see.
And it's beautiful. Then up next is Mercedes, and it's introducing its all-new 2021 E-Class along with an all-terrain model and introducing a plug-in versions of the E, CLA, and GLA lines. So, again, they're doing another reveal. They're doing it online. And we've talked about this in the past, that a lot of car manufacturers are not going to as many car shows. They're doing a lot more online promos.
Well, sure. I mean, it makes sense. It's cost-effective because, of course, you can, and you don't have to haul stuff around and do trucking and all the rest of that.
Well, you can use
crews of guys to load these things in and out. It makes sense from that standpoint.
It does.
But the car business is a touchy-feely business, and at some point or another, people want to sit in the thing. You know, it's waiting for it to show up at the dealer, you know, in your town. Sometimes that's hard. Although, of course, that creates its own little buzz by doing that. So maybe it's worthwhile.
Well, if car dealerships maybe made a big thing out of this where they did, let's say, Mercedes coalesced with all the dealerships in the world and said, we're doing a rollout. It's going to be a live event with special, excuse me, all sorts
it's
of.
It's a coronavirus.
Yes, all sorts of cool things attached to the rollout. Come on down to your nearest Mercedes-Benz dealer, and we'll put on a big shindig and make an exciting thing.
Well, sure. There's going to be promotional events, no doubt.
They could do that.
Yeah.
And then they say, book it up, come on in. In a week, we'll have the new issues. You know, Indian did that. They rolled around with their big semi, and they went to all the Indian dealerships, and it was a hit.
Yep.
They rolled that thing off, and a lot of people went down and test rode them and went, you know, this might be something I want. And then when they came in a few months later, they already booked a lot of sales, so I think
pre-sold a bunch of them.
Yeah, so anyway, they say don't be handshaking because of the coronavirus. So I don't listen to that.
Hey, wash your hands like you usually do.
Well, that's true.
Stay away from people hacking at you. You're going to be fine.
And then there's the McLaren. Always a showstopper revealed its new long tail lineup of performance cars, including a special limited edition of the 765 LT. The fourth LT model since it began producing them in 2015. McLaren plans to produce, now, how many do you think they're going to produce?
Six.
No.
More than six.
Think of the moniker, 765.
Uh-huh.
To match the 765 LT.
At the price point of what?
$375,000.
Well, I'll buy two.
Do you think they're going to even actually sell?
Oh, sure.
765 at this?
Of course they will. Of course they will.
Because there are people that have about five of them already, and they want more.
There's people who will buy that car because they have that kind of money. And, you know,
that's true.
That's true. It's a McLaren. Of course they sell.
They are pretty phenomenal cars.
They're the same guys that would buy a Veyron at a 1.7. And of course, you know, those people will buy that car. Now, I'm not going to buy one. I won't even probably stand next to one.
No.
But, you know, for every 10,000 people like me, there's a couple of guys like, you know, Bill Gates who have money to throw at stuff like that. And they'll go, sure, send me one. Send me two.
I was watching that Fastest Car show on Netflix.
Yeah.
And sure enough, the guys that have the supercars, they don't have just one.
Well, yeah.
They have two, three, four, or five of them.
Hey, if you're a player, you know, if you're a baller at that level, then why? Of course you do.
Well, yeah.
You know, I was driving around today, just this is a side story. I pulled out of a grocery store parking lot, just a regular Kroger, Fred Meyer grocery store parking lot, and right in front of me was a brand new, shiny black Ferrari, whatever the swoopy one is. I can't remember the model number. But it's like, okay, you were just in Fred Meyer. Mm-hmm. You were just at the Kroger store. And I mean, it's lovely to see those things and fun to hear them.
Right.
Just driving along the street. But I thought, yeah, kind of hanging out at the the ghetto store with a car like that.
Well,
but, man, they are swoopy.
Okay, for those who don't know, Linwood is just a little...
Well, this wasn't in Linwood.
Oh, where was this?
No, this was down in Seattle.
But where else are they going to shop?
Well, I don't know.
There's not a lot of places to shop in Seattle.
You got to buy Cheetos someplace.
That's right. You got to get your Murphy's beer someplace.
That's right.
So, interesting information put out by SEMA. Independent retailers in the automotive aftermarket remain the most used sales channel for getting parts to consumers, according to SEMA Industry Perspectives Report.
That makes sense.
While manufacturing distributors sell a variety of channels, including direct to consumer, over 80% of manufacturers report their products sell through independent specialty retailers. That means there's a lot of power still in small independent retailers.
One would hope.
Yep.
Hey, thanks for tuning in today. Coming up on the Windshield View, we talk to Sean Poots, a champion of, well, stay tuned. We'll find out on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Building a hot rod, rat rod, project vehicle with or without wheels? Bumping up against your skill level? Witch Doctor Restoration can give you a hand or a head to bounce an idea off of. Shane Osborne is an expert at all kinds of fabrication and mechanical work. He can take your ideas and bring them to life, or just show up at your garage and weld up the frame for your rod so it stays together. Your project is his project. If you're anywhere in the greater Seattle area, call him. He'll come to you. 206-437-1765. Witch Doctor Restoration is the place for quality work at your garage. Witch Doctor Restoration, 206-437-1765, 206-437-1765.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Project Yellow Light.
This is Donnie Smith. You've been listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Enjoy yourself.
In 95, I helped tow your trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service.
Hi, it's Jeff Conwell with the Monsters and Manson, giving a big shout-out to everyone at Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust is back with the first half of the Windshield View, and this week we're talking with champion of the Radical Rod Build-Off, Sean Puzz. And
Sean Puzz.
Sean, that is quite the thing, because we had the founder of the Radical Rod Build-Off, I think the last show.
It was last week. Yeah. Last week's show. Yeah. Brian was on, and he said we needed to talk with you first because, of course, you were the champion from 2019. So if you don't mind, first off, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys.
And second, I want to ask, tell me what you built to become the champion.
Okay, well, you know, it started out, I got invited to it, and, you know, that worked out really well, and spoke with Daigle, for which I'll refer to him as Daigle, you know, obviously.
Sure.
Brian, but I had my wife actually found a 1936 Packard online. We were on the way doing a job, and I said, man, that's pretty cool. I had intended to build another rat rod. So things worked out. I made an offer. The guy took it, and, you know, make a long story short, I bought it, and I had it sitting there and didn't really do anything with it. And then this gig come along, and, you know, he said, you know, was talking to Daigle, told me all about it, and, you know, and he said, you know, is this something you want to do? I said, yeah, you know, it is a big undertaking for sure, no doubt. But I figured, you know what, let's do it. So I had the Packard was a four-door car, was just a shell, just a skin only. And so it was, you know, it was just, like I said, just a skin. So went from there, and I talked to Daigle. He said, you know, what do you think you'll do? And I said, well, I have this Packard sitting here. And he said, oh, man, it'd be pretty cool. And so we went from there. I agreed to do that. And then so we started building from there, but I mean, it was just a skin. So everything else on that car was handmade. I had the frame, all engineered, laser cut, and, you know, made my own frame. I'm not the type to take square tubing or rectangular and miter it and, you know, make a shape. This is very fluid, very fluid and curved and everything. So, made the frame and suspension, the whole, you know, everything was handmade. So went from there and cut the body from a four-door to a two-door. tilted the windshield back, tilted the back end, shortened it. We left the door suicide, which it had original. The doors were suicide. And, you know, doing all the fabricating work, I love the look of bare metal. So we left it at that and, you know, just kept rolling through a LS engine in it and then put the blower shop blower on it, 871 billet blower.
Nice.
So, you know, I told Daigle, I said, when we first talked, I said, you know, I'm not doing this as a contestant. I'm doing this to win it. So I said, I'm not pulling any punches. I said, I'm doing this head first. So that's what we did. That's what we brought to the table.
Well, go for it. If you're going to go big, you know, that's what they say.
Yeah,
As we're talking here, I'm looking at the video from the drive off portion of the show last year. And I'm just, I'm looking to see, and there's several cars, of course, everybody that was in the drive-off section is there. Is your Packard, is that the swoopy one with the ground-level fenders and all metal? Is that the one?
Yes, yes.
Because it's about
all bare metal.
Yeah, it's about the third car you see in that video. And it's prominently featured. Beautiful piece of work. Yeah, there you are right there. It's a great video. Now, and by the way, I can tell folks, if you go to International Ratical Rod Build-Off, you do that search, it's RATICAL, you will find on that page the video from last year and a lot of things about everybody else's cars, of course. You know, yours is in there as well. I also kind of like, is this a sticker that they made up? There's I Am Ratical?
Yes, yes. They have a few stickers.
That's a great sticker.
And yes, we put them on there for, you know, for the most part, we are radical.
Sure.
Doing that kind of stuff. So it's only fitting. I think it's a very tasteful sticker and an efficient one.
Yeah, well, Sean, I had a question. I want to step back for a moment and talk to us a little bit about what gave you the skills, and is this kind of a full-time job for you to work with sheet metal?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, I'll be honest, again, I'll make it a short story. I started out young. My dad was in racing, and back in the 70s, I'm from up north in Pittsburgh, and all the cars would rot out and rust and stuff. So I pretty much grew up, I was basically kind of thrown into it, you know, making some repair panels and frame patches. You know, people would have to fix their cars or junk them, and, you know, a lot of people were afraid to mess with frames and whatever, since my dad was racing oriented, that wasn't a big issue. So we did a lot of repair, and I was really young at the time, and I kind of liked it. It was basically like a doctor, you know, with metal rather than, you know,
bones,
the body, or, you know, yeah, human anatomy. So, you know, it just kind of stuck with me. I liked being able to take something and make it new or make it better. And it just stuck with me. So that kind of just went from there. And then over the years, you know, just like everything else, you get more experience and more confidence, and started small, building some smaller things. And eventually now I'm making full, complete handmade cars, and I love it. But, you know, to somewhat answer your question, I mean, I do fabricating work. The car work is not my main income. I would like it to be, but it's not. I mean, we all know what the car industry is. It's up and down. It's hard. You know, maybe at some point, I mean, I'm doing these things, competitions and shows and stuff. I'm getting somewhat of some notoriety. And I mean, it may be possible, but basically just do general metal work. I do a lot of stainless steel work, mm-hmm, things like that on a specialty end. So that's what I do, and the cars were always a hobby, but it is starting to turn. We are getting some pay work now for cars, and, you know, I'm not going to do just your average work. You know, I'm not your restoration shop. There's millions of them. You know, this is what I like to do, is custom, one of a kind. That's why we're basically why I named my new company 101 Customs.
I see your logo there on the page. I'm at the Badass Rat Rods page.
Okay.
And of course your car is featured prominently there, but I see your one of one logo, and that's really a great piece of work. That's a good thought, because I'm quite sure that the kind of stuff that you do is there's no cookie cutter involved here.
Yes.
Well, when
and that's exactly what it is, and that's kind of why I decided to go down. You know, the rat rod thing, which I did first. I actually built race cars first. Made my own chrome Ollie chassis. Did a Pro Street S10. Kind of stepped away from racing. Racing's a terrible drug. went into the rat rod thing, you know, to be different and things. And it still is. I mean, I'll still build a rat rod, but I'm not going to hold myself back. You know, I did a couple of them, and I said, you know what, there's just an open road here for me. So that's what I did. And accordingly with the title, we just switched to 101, and there's plenty of there's a couple 101s, but this is the number one of ONE Customs.
I would imagine that given, you know, this whole kind of focus that you're doing, that somebody from, you know, Horsepower Channel or something like that is going to approach you for a TV show here pretty quick. Tell me that hasn't already happened.
There's been some talks, and people are looking at us a little bit. You know, you never really know. It's kind of like a rain, I assume, where, you know, you have a big cloud up there until it's ready to dump out. But I have no idea. You know, nothing major.
Well, I'll tell you hang on to that thought, because when the TV guys come knocking, we're going to be the first ones that want an interview. So.
Hey, no problem.
We're going to take a break here and come back on the other side with more about this. Windshield View is going to be right back. This is the International Radical Rod Build-Off Champ Sean Puz on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
More Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust after these messages.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States.
This is Jerry Heasley, and you're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest show I've been on in at least the last year.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the app.
Back in Vehicle City. And we're also back with the second half of the Windshield View. And before the break, Sean Puz was telling us about how cool it is to be the 2019 champion for the International Radical Rod Build-Off, but also how, you know, sometimes doing the thing that you love the most and making, you know, one-of-one type customs may end up heading you towards a career bigger than you thought. You were telling us a little bit, Sean, about, you know, some TV rumblings that may be happening, but I can't imagine that that's the only thing that has happened since you became champion. What are some of the other things that are kind of coming down?
Yeah, talk to us about your whole SEMA show and you being featured there and how that's working out for you.
Well, you know, I tell you, it's amazing. I mean, it's, you know, like they say, you always hear people talking, you know, and it, like, when I was younger and newer in business and stuff, you know, people like, man, you know, it'll consume you, it takes you. And I'm thinking like, yeah, I can't wait for that day. You know, I'm always trying to push the cart, you know, but there's so much going on and things. And, you know, with the SEMA, and then again, talking to Dago, and I feel honored that I was invited to do it in the first place. And it, like, I, you know, I refer to myself as just a nobody doing my own thing. You know what I mean? I just keep my head down into the work, and, you know, and I just keep putting out product. So with the whole SEMA thing, and I got a good guy now, Aaron Tessing, it's forever to find somebody that A, wants to work, and B, cares, you know what I mean? Then on top of that, C, has talent, you know, to get all three is very tough. So I think that kind of helped out a little bit and kind of pushed my confidence, like, okay, you know, we can do, you know, more than one thing at a time. And then I told him, I said, you know, we're doing this gig for SEMA. I said, SEMA isn't a car show. I mean, it is, but it's industry people. It's not like, you know, you go to your typical car show and you just have enthusiasts and spectators. I said, these are people in the business. Right. I said, I have no idea what this thing's going to do at SEMA. It's either going to get laughed at or it's going to do well. You know what I mean? I said, either way, I said, we're just going to keep doing our thing. You know what I mean?
Well, so at the very least, you get some exposure out of the deal. I mean, you're there with the rest of the industry pros, so it can't be a bad thing.
No, it wasn't. And we went there, and, you know, it was something. I mean, I didn't see too many things like what we brought up, you know. And we got there, and then and I was pretty nervous. We were in the rally performance booth, and Tom, he's such a great guy, and I was stressed. You know, you got the SEMA. I mean, we put this thing on a trailer to go do the radical run. I mean, a day. I mean, I had less than 100 miles on that car. Things were brand new parts. Every part was brand new, but I was having part issues. And I said, oh, man, I'm out of time. So I made a couple more adjustments, got a couple things, and I said, we're just hoping for the best. You know, knock on wood.
Sometimes that's what you have to do. I mean, it's, you know, you're doing your beta testing on the road.
Oh, yeah. And the car was flawless, you know. So we get there, and I was nervous with Tom, you know. So you had all that anxiety and nervousness. And then I'm thinking, I'm a terrible luck person, but so I'm thinking, oh, geez, what if there's a traffic accident on the way to Nebraska or something? I mean, there's just many things. Then we get to SEMA. And then I cleared the car. It was bare metal. And I'm going to get through this as quick as I can.
No, but take your time.
It's every time I stopped to get fuel, I basically rained the whole way out there. And every time I put fuel in the truck, you know, I checked the straps on a trailer in the car. I'm like, this is rusting underneath the clear.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, oh, man, this is terrible. I mean, not bad, but I mean, I know what it is, you know? So we did the thing and whatever. We get to SEMA on a Friday night. I didn't load in until Monday, I think. And I get to, I said, man, this just doesn't look right. So I made what I call, and I'll never forget this, is what I call is the worst and best decision I ever made in my life. And I say, you know what? I think I'm going to sand this clear back off and just leave it bare metal, you know? Oh, okay.
Gutsy.
So I started little spot first. And then I'm like, okay, yeah, it looks great. I'm like, but I had some family there, some help, and my daughter and her boyfriend and this and that. Yeah. And we started on it, and I didn't think I was going to finish. I mean, it was it was terrible. It was
we're not sleeping.
Forever.
We're not eating.
Oh, my God. It was terrible.
That's gutsy to do.
I mean, we were running to stores, getting different wheels and this and that,
man.
Paint stripper and acetone, a whole nine yards. But we did it. I mean, we finished up the evening. It was just getting dark on Sunday evening, and we loaded in Monday morning.
Man, sometimes you just got to throw down, though. You know, it's one of those decisions, like you say, it's the best and the worst, because you know what's ahead, but you got to do it, you know, for the value of the project. And, you know, let me say, SEMA is different from a lot of other shows. I mean, everything there has basically got to work. There's no trailer queens there. I mean, it's you got to show up, and it's got to run. Plus, for the build off, I mean, there was a drive off. That thing had to perform on the road as well.
Yes. Yeah, we were in a salt and snow you know, two mornings were 16 degrees. The one morning was 20 degrees.
Marvelous.
We had no heat.
No heat in your car.
I don't think anything about heat, you know. But anyway, you know, getting back to the thing, you know, so then you had all that. And, you know, when we got to SEMA, I'm like, okay, we did this build off. Everything was good, you know. And then I took this, you know, undertaking to get the car cleaned up. So added all that stress on. So we got into the booth there, and then, you know, I was worried. I wanted Tom to be happy with what we did, and he was happy, but I wanted the people, you know, I wanted it to work for him.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, we got there, and I think the car did a very, very well, was a pretty big hit. And then, like you said, getting back, I mean, we were approached from a couple media companies. We had a couple companies come over. People were looking at us and this and that, but again, you know, I didn't sign any contracts yet. You know, we'll have to see. You know what I mean? So,
well, you know, all those guys, Welder Up and Outlaw Garage, I mean, all those guys started in that same kind of way. You know, they made a couple of cars and they made some noise and people looked and went, you know, and that's just how organic that stuff is. One day you're standing there,
really?
And the next day somebody's,
I don't even know,
walking you up. Yeah, I mean, it's just that easy. And you look at some of the shows that are still on, or some of the ones that were and then have left, and nothing any more magical or any less magical than what you're doing. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see you, you know, on the big screen, my friend.
Well, and
you
here's
know,
it.
I don't know. It would be nice, you know. And again, though, I have a couple people say, well, you know, it's got to work for you. You know, a friend of mine actually turned down some stuff, and
right,
you know, I'm not gonna sell myself out to anybody if it's not really what I think that I'm gonna do, or you know, it's gonna be a good representation of what I'm doing. It doesn't mean I'm gonna take it. Fame and fortune is nice, but it doesn't run my life, you know.
Exactly.
What I mean?
Yep.
So you know, we'll have to see how it goes. And that was actually another reason we went, you know, and I feel honored to win, that there were so many good teams last year, and I was kind of worried, to be honest with you, you know. And even this year, I don't take anything for granted, you know what I mean. I bring to the table what we can with the time and budget that we have. But you know, just like last year, I mean, there were some really, really good teams, and you know, it just, you know, we'll see what happens. And but so we won it. And I thought, you know what, I think we're going to back it. Well, I actually had no intention of doing it this year. And then a bunch of, and including one media company, they said, I think you should do it again this year. You know, I'm like, oh, okay, let me see. You know, so I talked to some sponsors and worked on half of the deal right there at SEMA.
Wow.
You know, I talked to Aaron. I said, Aaron, what do you think? Because you know what we went, you know, and the reaction was good. And I said, okay, we're going to do it again this year. So what I want to do is back up Capo, which was the name of the Packard.
Right.
I figured, you know, we're going to do another custom. What I like about that, I'm more excited about this one because it is entirely handmade. There is nothing that I started with but tubing in sheet metal, raw material. It's my design. It's my car. It is entirely handmade. You know, I didn't start with anything but my idea. So I'm very, very happy.
See, that's
excited.
That is both the most rewarding and the most scary.
It is.
Because it's all you, you know, it's all you, buddy. And that is very, very cool, though, to be able to have that vision come to, you know, come to life.
Well, and
I envy you the opportunity.
And it takes you back to the Gene Winfield days and the Barris and Ed Roth and all these guys that just completely out of the box created stuff that no one had ever seen. Yeah. They weren't working off of anything but their own imagination, and it really set the world on fire. And people like yourself are doing the same thing, but in sheet metal, and I think it's wonderful, Sean. I mean, it is.
Oh, thanks. I'm really, really excited. And not only that, I mean, what I'm doing, and I know you guys said you weren't going to post a picture, and that's fine. I respect that. You know.
No, we'll post any picture you give us.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
The frame, suspension, everything is going to be stainless steel, you know, brush finish stainless steel.
Wow, that's very
maybe
cool.
Some polished. And then the body is all going to be handmade aluminum. So the thing is just going to look like basically like a knight in shining armor, which I think I'll do this now that's a good opportunity. Had the artist do the rendering, and he labeled the car, but I'm going to change it. The new build is going to be called Excalibur.
I love it.
Knight in shining armor.
Yeah. So, well, so, you know, what we were, when we were talking about not posting pictures, we just didn't want to do it ahead of the event. We didn't want to steal any thunder. You. But I'll tell you what, if you want to send us pictures of what's coming, anything that you say it's okay
we'll
for
post.
Us to post, buddy, we got it. We'll
send it out to all of our people on all of our connections.
Yeah, sure. That's sure. happy to do it.
So now I got a question.
Sure.
You work full time and then you do this in the spare time.
Correct.
Now, how's your wife handle this? I mean, she's used to having you do this, but does she ever come out and give you a hand?
Do you still get to sleep in the house, I guess, is the question.
Well, at times, she does very well with it. She's a trooper. She understands where I'm at, what I do. She knows that's my passion, and it really helps now. I moved to Florida a little over 4 years ago, and now my shop is basically in my backyard. I mean, I got like a 40-foot walk to work. So even though I'm at work, I'm still at home, you know.
Oh, good.
And, and she helps out a lot. So that really, really helps when you have that kind of support.
Yeah,
and
that is pretty
cool.
You can answer the phone and do the laundry at the same time.
Yeah, and I kind of skip out on a laundry thing. But, you know, I get to fix the cars. So,
there you go.
You know, everything works out.
So now being in...
So, yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. I was going to just say, being in Florida, do you have... are you inland or on the coast?
You know, when I moved down here, I had a lot of work going on. A lot of my jobs were in Florida because of the rapid growth. And... strategically, I moved to Central Florida. So, yes, I'm basically dead center, up and down, left and right of Florida. And that is by choice because I didn't want to – you obviously knew about the hurricanes and whatnot.
Sure.
I'm pretty close to Disney World. So
you're in Orlando, right?
Orlando has the most direct flights because of Disney.
Right.
And that was a factor because I was flying all over the place. So that, and, you know, if a hurricane did hit, you know, you have an hour and a half buffer before it gets to my house. And that was, and then strategically, you know, again, being in the middle, I can go any direction in Florida.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's where we chose.
Excellent. And you're not dealing with a lot of salt issues then, right, where you're at?
None that I know of.
Right. So your bare metal will be okay. It won't...
Well, your stainless steel is not going to have to deal too much. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. It does rain. It's like up here.
Yes. That's another thing, too, you know, with Capo, we've got to chase that. And, you know, we still clear coat it here and there. But with the new build, I didn't, you know, I figured I don't want to clear it and take that, because when you clear metal, it kind of darkens it. It doesn't have that pop.
You get a little brown cast to it.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the biggest, like I said, the best and worst decision when we had it, because Vegas is so dry. You know, we sanded it all, it was bare metal.
Yep.
I put a car cover on it, and I didn't have to worry about a surface rusting overnight. But when it got into the rally booth, it was just glowing bare metal, sanded bare metal.
That's great stuff.
Well, and the nice thing about that is when you're dealing with industry people, they come over and they take a look at it, and they've seen a million paint jobs. But when you actually look at the craftsmanship of just the bare metal, they get it. They get 100% because that's their world. And so your industry people that work around this stuff, they 100% get it. So, Sean, we're rolling up to our end of our discussion with you. But where can people find more about you?
One of One Customs. We're on YouTube. We started a new YouTube channel, thanks to Aaron. He's heading that direction with the media. Facebook, we're on Instagram. It's all One of One Customs. The website is being built right now, where we can sell some apparel and products. That's going on as we speak.
Excellent.
Basically.
Well, we appreciate having you on with us. And
we will post all of that stuff so people can see it. I've got all of the addresses right here. So, Sean Puz, thanks a lot, man. We really appreciate the conversation.
Thank you, guys. It's an honor to be here.
You bet.
Glad to have you. Hey, we'll be back. You're listening to the greatest automotive info show in the known world. A new hot rod story you can tell your friends is coming up next.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14. 41,
31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted.
I realized
he forgot his homework.
I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Building a hot rod, rat rod, project vehicle with or without wheels? Bumping up against your skill level? Witch Doctor Restoration can give you a hand or a head to bounce an idea off of. Shane Osborne is an expert at all kinds of fabrication and mechanical work. He can take your ideas and bring them to life, or just show up at your garage and weld up the frame for your rod so it stays together. Your project is his project. If you're anywhere in the greater Seattle area, call him. He'll come to you. 206-437-1765. Witch Doctor Restoration is the place for quality work at your garage. Witch Doctor Restoration, 206- 206-437-1765, 206-437-1765.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States.
This is Quentin Folk. I dig up old hot rods, and I also dig this podcast.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much.
For taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot.
For leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom. For taking you to your therapies. For understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiving.
Hi, this is Adam Kramer from Avance.com. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. It's time for Cars Confidential, and we're back with a story from Lance Lambert this week. What's up?
Well,
Brady.
What's up this week is Fenders, Fins, and Friends, Confessions of a Car Guy, which, of course, is one of Lance's books. Lance Lambert, as you are all well aware, host of the Vintage Vehicle TV show and inveterate collector of cool old radios now. He has Lance Lambert's Radio Ranch, which is basically pictures of all the radios he buys and sticks up in his garage. But Lance is kind enough to let us promote his book for him for free. I don't know why we do this, but because we do. And he's got some good stories. And this one is from the aforementioned book. This is called Persnickety Paula. Persnickety Paula. Paula was a good friend, but a lousy girlfriend. Ah, how many is the time that I've had. At the age of 19, I was a struggling student without a job or a place to live. The Army had recently informed me that I was unfit for military duty. And my mother had informed me I was unfit for lying around the house duty. Where was I to live? Where, oh where? Well, a friend somehow talked her parents into letting me move rent-free into an apartment that was built into their garage. Transportation. Well, my dad owned the world's ugliest truck and said that I could borrow it any time.
Mm-hmm.
It was a 1949 International pickup that had formerly belonged to a roofing company. It was beat up, covered with smears of oil, blobs of tar. It was not pretty. It was not. But it was available.
Yes.
And, you know, those are the important criteria when you're 19 and have no job and no life and no girlfriend, apparently. Paula was also available, but unlike the truck, she was very, very pretty. During high school, she was the one-of-the-guys kind of friend that I never gave any thought to dating. For years, it had been me and the guys dropping by Paula's house and eating everything in sight. Her parents loved having us around, and her dad was always good for a when-I-was-your-age story or two. I think I've become that kind of dad.
Yes.
I have those stories. You do, too, don't you?
Yes, I do. Yes.
We had uphill 2 miles in the snow in both ways. And
my sons have heard enough of my stories.
Oh, yeah. Now, I'm not sure how it went from me being one of the guys sitting at the kitchen table to me being the kid at the front door dressed in my good jeans, best button-down Madras shirt, and asking Paula if she was ready to go out for the evening. And there, waiting at the curb, was that tar-toting beat-up truck. Being short on funds meant that our dates consisted of going for rides, hanging out in the parking lot of the local drive-in restaurant, or long walks at the Point Defiance Park. And for those of you who aren't in the Pacific Northwest, let me tell you that the Point Defiance Park is also the home of the Point Defiance Park Zoo and is a beautiful, wonderful, natural area that you can get lost in and still be right in the middle of town. It is gorgeous. And if you do come to the Pacific Northwest, please, this is an unpaid promotion for the Point Defiance Park, go there. It's really beautiful. Now, Paula was thought going to the park was romantic, and I was always thinking that it was an affordable way to spend time together. You see the disconnect here. All was going well until our first date when she realized that we would be touring town in the tar truck. She climbed in but refused to touch anything as she sat with as little of her little bottom touching the seat as possible. I'll admit that a 1949 International truck isn't the height of automotive styling, then or now, Lance. And the tar blobs were not on the options list, but it was transportation, it was free, and it was all I had to drive. About our third date, Paula informed me that she would no longer be riding in the tar truck and that I needed to find a new set of wheels if I wanted to continue our dating status. I informed her that I had grown tired of her acting like she was entering an outhouse every time she climbed into the pickup. Lance has a way with words.
Yes.
About this time, I met another young lady, coincidentally also named Paula, who owned a very nice 1957 Plymouth. It was unlikely that Paula number two would be willing to chauffeur Paula number one and me on dates, so something needed to change. Let's see. Persnickety Paula or Plymouth Paula?
Yes.
Well, Paula number one agreed that we made better friends than boyfriend-girlfriend, so we amiably ended our short-lived romance. Time passed, and I got a job and purchased a very nice 1959 Volkswagen. Unfortunately, Plymouth Paula turned out to be the girlfriend from hell, so she was also replaced with a better model. Now, Lance at this point was about 19.
Oh, I know.
Right? And he, somewhere between 19 and 20, purchased a very nice 1959 Volkswagen.
Yep.
This could very well be the place where Lance's affair with Volkswagens began.
I think so.
Because, as we know, he can't let go of them, and he's more or less always had one, I think, at some point or another.
Yes.
He's a Volkswagen, and, of course, he likes other kinds of cars, too. But, yeah, the Volkswagen, the 59 Volkswagen. Somewhere, I bet you, in this book or some other book, there is a story about that 59 Volkswagen.
I'll bet there is.
I'm going to look and see, and perhaps that will be the story next week, but in any case, it's always a pleasure to read Lance's stories, and Fenders, Fins, and Friends is just one of his books. He has Gears, Grins, and Gasoline as well, and of course he's written several other books that have nothing to do with cars because Lance has other hobbies. But I still think that it would be fun to go get some. He's on Lance's page. He has lots of pictures of his radio ranch, and he's really getting into this. I think he must have about 30 radios.
I think
now.
So.
And it's fun to look. And you guys, if you're listening, you can just do a Facebook search for Lance Lambert. You'll find Vintage Vehicle Show, and sure enough, you'll find Lance's page. And I'm sure he will friend you because he has absolutely no taste, and he friends everybody, as evidenced by the fact that he's friends with me. You know, I mean, let's just put that out there. But yeah, his garage is the Garage Mahal, and he does have a lot of really cool stuff in there, including all the radios. It's kind of fun.
You know, I came across this very interesting article, and it was called "Do You Name Your Car?"
Ah, yes, yes,
and
yes, yes.
I started thinking, do you name your car, Brady?
I do not, but you know, that doesn't have anything.
Do you know
with
how
with
many people actually name their car?
I'm sure tons.
94% of the people that were taken, you know,
took the survey
said they name their car.
I have names that I call my car, but that's not the same thing.
You know, I have not
at all.
I've known people who, well, like our Sean, who was our guest.
Yeah.
He's got some names, but he's building something. It's a piece of artwork, and he's going to name it.
Well, but you know, by the same token, Carly Brogren, who is one of our friends as well. She named her Lincoln Zephyr Amelia, but now that she's had it painted, she's coming up with a new name because it's not
that's
the same car.
That's right.
I think a lot of people name their cars.
By the way,
speaking of Carly, her car is going to be sort of able to be viewed this car show season around the Northwest, and she's making a big deal out of it. And let's face it, Jean Winfield painted her car. It's a very nice paint job. I've seen a couple of pictures, but she hasn't published the entire thing yet. But
she was in my first video that I produced.
Yeah, I saw, and it's a good video, and you know she's a nice lady.
Yeah, she's at the
Hot
Wheels.
Carly is not a builder.
No,
she bought a trailer car.
That's
except
right.
that she drives it, so more power to her because I think that's cool. But people do name their cars.
They do. I'm sure Lance might have names for his cars. I'll have to ask him next time I see him. But the fact that 94%. So the question is, if you're on our Facebook, please, I want you to go in there. Say your name and then tell us the name of your car.
Yeah. Oh, and a picture. You want to post a picture of your car?
That'd
be fine too.
On our Facebook. Just go to Horsepower Chrome and Rust Facebook page. Upload your picture and say, this is what it is, and here's the name. We would love to hear this. This would be great. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
It'd be fun.
And assuming
a name for your car is family friendly.
Yes, we have a few club names that we have to kind of change some of the words about because they are what they are. Speaking of club and car, it's been pretty nasty around here. Have you been out in your car working on it lately?
Well, yeah, we were out working in the rain. I did a brake job in the rain here just last weekend. But yeah, we did actually get rained out too. We put the Hudson.
Get
up
hailed
on,
out on Saturday.
No, we weren't working it right at that. But Shane and I built a bunch of blocks to put the Hudson up about 2 feet.
Oh, okay.
Because I got to get under there and put the new gas tank in it, and that's not I was not looking forward to it. Turns out there's 4 bolts.
Oh,
I was like, well, okay,
wow.
That's easier than I had any right to hope. But we spent most of Saturday hammering like idiots, and I forgot how little I enjoy hammering. It's not fun at all.
Well, the weekly trivia question is next in a peek at next week's show. So put it in park and stick around.
Building a hot rod, rat rod, project vehicle with or without wheels? Bumping up against your skill level? Witch Doctor Restoration can give you a hand or a head to bounce an idea off of. Shane Osborne is an expert at all kinds of fabrication and mechanical work. He can take your ideas and bring them to life or just show up at your garage and help. Your project is his project. If you're anywhere in the greater Seattle area, call him. He'll come to you. 425-626-4135. Witch Doctor Restoration is the place for quality work at your garage. Witch Doctor Restoration, 425-626-4135. 425-626-4135.
Hang on till right after these messages.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
This is Vince LaViolette from Shelby American in Las Vegas. And you're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino. El Camino man. Only you can understand.
Hey, welcome back. It's Around the Wheel. This is where we talk about all the upcoming events. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are doing the weekly trivia question. And this week, ladies and gentlemen, I am proud to announce a change in the name of our trivia contest. And you ask, why, Brady? Why would you do that? Well, I can tell you. We have a lovely friend who's a very, very close listener to the show. He's regular and he's a good guy. His name is Nathan Lipinski. You may recognize Nathan's name because he's won a couple of these trivia contests.
Yep.
He knows the answer to stuff and he has a really fast Google finger. And so I actually got with him on Facebook after our discussion last week. And I said, what would you think if, since you're, you know, such a huge fan, what would you think if we named the trivia contest question in your honor? And he said, cool. Does that mean I'm sponsoring it? I said, only if you want to throw me money. But we will name it after you if you like.
Yes.
And he said, sure, that would be very cool. He's honored to have it. And so
cool.
I want to make it clear that Nathan Lipinski is not dead.
No.
This is not the Nathan Lipinski Memorial Automotive Trivia Question, but it is officially the weekly Nathan Lipinski Trivia Question. And last week, in the final freeform trivia question, we asked what political figure came up with the idea for the third brake light, the one in the rear window of most cars these days.
Yes,
now
yes.
A law.
It couldn't and have been that long ago.
It wasn't that long ago. The person that was there after a suggestion, the thing was adopted and put into play by the industry, was Elizabeth Dole. Bob Dole's
wow.
wife.
Wow. Yeah. No kidding.
And, I more power to her. I think that's very cool.
Yeah.
So she gets the credit. And you know what? We had a winner. And it wasn't Nathan. It was a guy named Cal Blewett. And Blewett, we have a pass in Washington
yes,
called
do.
Blewett Pass. And he spells it the same way. I asked him if there's any relation. He said no, because he lives in Iowa. But I don't know. Maybe his friend was an explorer. Anyway, Cal came up with the correct answer. So, Cal, you get the last of the unattached buckets of barn fine dust. Your name will be prominently featured as the first winner of the Nathan Lipinski Horsepower Chrome and Rust Automotive Trivia Question. And this week's Nathan Lipinski question is, are you ready for this?
Yes, I'm ready.
Who was the first person to win the Indianapolis 500 at a speed of over 100 miles an hour without a relief driver? See, there's a lot involved here. First one to win at over 100 miles an hour and no relief driver, because back in the day they had relief drivers.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And over 100 miles an hour.
Over 100 miles an hour and no relief driver. First person to ever win. If you know, you can get to us at Horsepower Chrome and Rust on Facebook. You can go contact us at horsepowerchromeandrust.com as an email. You can send us a Facebook messenger. You can throw rocks at my window late at night, although you run the risk of waking my dogs, which you don't want to do. Or in any other way that you can answer that question, that would be great. And you too. Yes, you could win your name on a certificate with the coveted chrome-plated brass-tacked bucket of horsepower, chrome, and rust, barn-fine dust, which, as we all know, if you spread on your car, you will quadruple the value because everybody will think you found it in a barn. I have so much fun saying that.
I know, you know, and you know, there's a lot of things that are, yeah, because there's a lot of things you could spread that come in on a barn.
Yes, thank goodness it's only dust.
It's only dust.
Let's keep it at
let's
dust.
Let's keep it at that.
Best.
I mean,
I have another announcement. Can I make an announcement about your upcoming show?
Yes.
Can I talk about your upcoming show?
Yep.
One of the things we do at Horsepower Chrome and Rust is we try to plug car shows wherever we can. And, of course, all around the country, there's lots of shows that are happening. But we also do our best to present shows. I present four of them around the area myself. And Steve has decided he wants to jump into the producing end of a car show. So later this summer, August 29th, although we'll have plenty more information about it between now and then, Steve the producer, Johan, is going to be producing his own very first car show at his church, and you will hear about it here first. Thanks to Sean Puz for stopping by and talking to us about being the champion of the 2019 Radical Rod Build-Off. Thanks to you guys for listening and liking and following our Facebook page and our website and all that cool stuff. Thanks for checking us out on iTunes, iHeart, and Spotify. And for Shane Osborne and Steve Johan, I'm Brady Wright saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, your foot to the floor. Next week, we're going to do it again. This is Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.